Hi, my name is Harry Etie, and welcome to the Lazy Binge Club. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Lazy Binge Club. Like I promised in the last episode, I'm going to be discussing one of the, well, I don't want to say it was one of the most talked about television series on Nigerian Twitter, but people really were really into this show after it was released. I'm discussing Blood Sisters, and I'm doing that with my friend Matthew. Hey Matthew, what's good?
Hey, I'm good. How y'all doing?
Y'all, it's not me, I speak it.
Sorry. How are you, Jerry? I tried to sound
cool. I'm keeping this in, don't worry. It is cool. But yes, we're going to be talking about Blood Sisters. Blood Sisters is a Nigerian thriller series that was released on Netflix. It's a limited series, so it has only 4 episodes. But yeah, it was pretty much very exciting show. The synopsis is basically Sarah and Kemi become fugitives after Sarah's husband-to-be, Kola, disappears mysteriously on their engagement day. And the circumstances surrounding his disappearance becomes a mystery until he was declared dead a few days after, when his body was found in a shallow grave. And that's when the story erupts and things start to unfold. So we're just going to go straight into the conversation. Matthew, what are your first thoughts on Blood Sisters?
I actually really liked it. Like, I don't know. I think quality-wise, I think it was good. The story was good. I actually did not see some of the twists and turns coming. You know, I was really invested in it. And I feel like it's hard for Nigerian movies to get me, like, invested in the characters and what's going on. But this one, I was at the edge of my seat the entire time.
What made you decide to want to watch it? Because I know that for a lot of folks, especially for, like, you, who you are, like, what's the word? How do I describe you? You are more, I'm not gonna take it away from your Nigerian-ness, right?
Just the diaspora folks, you know?
Yeah, but you are like, yeah, diaspora folk, basically. Mm-hmm. And the ideas a lot of people have, if you were raised in America, your ideas of what Nollywood is a lot of times is old Nollywood, right?
And
and
I feel like,
you know, thank God for Netflix that is, you know, showing folks what the new school is doing. A lot of folks are just stuck on that mindset, and they engage with new Nollywood productions based on that. So how were you able to open up your mind? Has it been a process? Has it been a new process for you? Or is it something that just started?
I think this is a newer thing for me. I feel like with Nigerian entertainment, with the music, I've watched the music industry grow and I followed it throughout that progress, right? So I watched the dramatic changes that have happened in the last decade or so. But I think with the movies, I never really felt the need to keep up with them dramatically, like in a serious way. And I think for this, it was like, oh no, the movies have been also developing at the same rate as like the music has, as the music videos has, as other, you know, facets of the Nigerian entertainment industry. And I think for me, it was more like, oh, I've been sleeping on this. Like, I'm behind, you know, I kind of need to catch up. Now I'm just looking at like, okay, what other movies are there? Like, this is not the quality I expected from a Nigerian movie. Like, the writing I expected, like, I just didn't feel like this writing was lazy. And that's how I felt like most Nigerian movies were growing up. Like, I watched them a lot and I was just like, very Shakespearean, very simple plots, very, you know, what's going to happen next. And this one was different. And I think that was a wake up call for me, I guess.
Yeah, that you need to be checking out more Nollywood productions. I think for me, my overall thoughts before we like dive really deep, I really thought that it was, I really enjoyed it. Really, really enjoyed watching Blood Sisters. I thought it was, I don't want to say it was something different, but I felt it was really enjoyable, very gripping. I didn't want to stop, watched it all the way till the end. I thought it was really good. So we're going to go into like the characters, right?
Yeah.
What character was like your favorite?
I mean, Kemi. Because Kemi really just like a ride or die.
Yeah.
So I really did like Kemi. Kemi has a soft space mark because I understand that ride or die energy, even though I think she took it too far personally. You know, this is, you know, when we say ride or die, we're not literally talking about dying, but you know, she almost did several times. So like I enjoyed her, but I also really liked Mrs. Ademola, like Kate Henshaw's character.
Yeah.
Like there was something really unsettling, but also like fascinating about how stoic that character was to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I see that too. I really like Kevin too. Everybody wants that friend that is going to stick with you till the very end.
Yeah.
That is like the dream, right? And we saw that just show up in their friendship. And I feel like it was both ways in a way, even mm-hmm. though it almost seemed like with Sarah, obviously she was the one that was in the situation mm-hmm. that was, you know, abusive or anything. And so I can understand why Kemi's devotion and her full-on loyalty to her friend were something that we could see from the jump, right? But I also think that Sarah too was also there for Kemi, even though a lot of that we didn't see. But even like there were hints, you know, throughout the show, and also just even the moment where Shemi was she shot? I think she was shot, right, on her leg. She was caught, exactly. And then they were limping through the village. So I thought that was really nice. What character didn't you like on the show?
Oh, it's the policeman. What's his name?
Chicago.
Yeah, I could not stand his accent. It was distracting. I don't know why they gave him this like weird southern mid-Atlantic like 1940s American accent. I was just like, they could have just let him speak normally.
But he was from Chicago, like he left
Chicago. No one from Chicago talks like that.
He left Chicago. I was like, I have to go back to Nigeria because Nigeria needs me. Nigeria needs me to come as like crime.
I was like, can you just talk normally? This act, it was the only thing that pulled me out of the story. Like he would start talking and I'd be like, oh, I'm watching a movie. Like this is, and it wasn't a bad actor. Like the acting was good. It was just like that accent. I was just like, it just felt out of place because not because of like that it was like an American accent. It was more that it was an outdated accent.
Mm.
Like it was very like, he was acting like he was in some like 1950s like crime movie where I'm just like, this is 2022 in Lagos. Why are you talking like this?
I don't know if I had a character that I didn't really like. I felt like the photographer was just annoying.
I mean, yeah, but that's what he was supposed to be though.
Yeah, well, okay, that is true. That is true. But at the same time, I'm like, this is not how you try and blackmail folk, right? You don't do like, there was just something lazy about
him. He's a photographer. He's not a professional blackmailer.
He wasn't really serious about his check. Like, you got your first badge of money, right? Go spend that. When you're done, you come back for the next one. That's how those folks do it. It's like the rule in the handbook. So it felt very interesting that, you know, he was asking for more almost immediately. You get what I'm saying? I'm like, you know that these girls don't have the money you're looking for right now. But then a couple of months later, they might. So why don't you just wait? So I felt like brother wasn't really thinking about it. But I also understand that, you know, him asking for more, you know, moved the story forward with them having to also kill him. So yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. Speaking of characters that were unexpected, right? I won't say he was my best character, but I loved like the good doctor.
Yes,
played by Tope Tadela. I felt like he played the villain role so well. And Tope has been playing villain roles. Like, right now, there's a Nigerian show on African Magic. It's called Venge. And Tope plays one of a psychotic villain on that show. And he is so good. And this is, I don't know if this is new for him or new for me, or I haven't seen him in so many things. But just the way, you know, those villains that are nice and that will smile mm-hmm. and that, like, it's just very interesting to me how he plays the role. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
No, I think I liked the whole, like, doctor arc of, like, the story. Because I think it just added to, like, the level of stakes and, like, the danger. Like, it kind of did prolong the story in a good way. And it wasn't, like, in a useless way. But also, just like, you know, it was always airy. I was just like, wow, this is cool. I like that they added that other woman in. I don't know, what something about that other woman being a part of, like, them picking them up on mm-hmm. the street made mm-hmm. me feel like, wow, they finally found peace. Like, they're going to make it. And I don't know, like, I think without that woman there, I would have thought it was creepy that this man was picking up these two women on the street. But yeah. When she was there, I was just like, oh yeah, no, this is fine. Like, they're gonna be okay. And I was just shocked when he like started doing what he was gonna do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you. I feel like because of the woman being there, I think that it helped them feel safe in a way. That yeah. This is someone like me. This person is gonna be a good guy. Nothing is gonna happen. And then we're just gonna move on, you know? And then she hit the fan. She really hit the fan. What were some of your highlights from Blood Sisters? What do you think were some of the things that you really liked about the film now, like in detail? Like, what were your standout scenes? What were the things that happened that you were like, oh my God, this is really top notch?
I think one thing I did like was the locations they used. I know that's not really story based. But it's just like the kitchens were nice, they were fabulous. Like the clothes were just like over the top, but in the best way. I think just really like showed that well. Scenes that I like. I really did like the scenes where like Sarah and Kemi would almost like, you know, swear to each other about how much they loved each other and how they're gonna get through this. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I think the two actresses really had great chemistry. It was like it just really great rapport almost. Like, I don't know, those scenes just felt very genuine. When the two of them would be like, you know, you're my best friend, we've been through this, we're gonna make it. And I'm just like, damn, I need one of these.
Yeah. As regards location, I mean, it's Lagos, right? And
like, I know it has the nice places, but yes. It's just like, I don't know. They just shot the places really well.
They
like
shot the it camera really well. Yes. And yeah. they didn't focus on the Lekki Koito bridge that, you know, you will be always.
That is in every movie. Yes. It's just a little aerial shot. Like, it was just places I hadn't seen.
Yes. I think that for me, some of the highlights for me were Ramsey Nouah being very quiet and not saying anything. His character just being very quiet. I think I liked how they got this well-established actor who is like an icon in Nollywood, right? Uh-huh. To play this role of just the houseboy. Quote unquote. Of this villainous woman, you know, and just being an errand boy, more or less, and just doing everything that she requires. I thought that was really good. I also liked the fact that we had this, you know, in their family, in the Ademola family, with, you know, Kola being the annoying person that he is, but his brother also, and that dynamic with his wife. Mm-hmm. And also how, wait first, can we talk about how they were always sleeping? Just having sex constantly. I'm just like,
I thought that was so cool, low-key. Like, I was like, okay, this is weird, I don't know, I think it added to the insanity of their characters.
Yeah, it really made them feel very, yes, maybe insanity is the word, yes.
Psychotic, I don't know.
Yeah, and speaking of the sex, I might have to pivot a little bit, but, you know, a lot of folks in Nigeria, like pastors and, you know, people mm-hmm. on some Christians on Twitter were like, oh, Nollywood is not pushing nudity in films, blah, blah, blah. This is not nice. This is like, they really, we're having like an opinion about the film that they're trying. And, you know, there was a scene where, what's her name? Kola's sister.
Timaye,
yes. And she was dancing, you know, with the girls.
Yeah, I did peep that. I was like, that's going to be a little controversial.
Yes. And like, folks were not really having it.
It's reality. That's what happens at the club. People dance.
People grind on each other. You know what I'm saying?
Plus, the sex scenes were like, I mean, yes, you know, from my, like, just Nigerian movie standpoint, I was like, oh, this is a lot for a Nollywood movie. But at the same time, like, this is not 50 Shades of Grey. Like, it was very tastefully done. I don't really see the big deal, you know?
Yes. I agree that it was tastefully done. Let's talk about some of the other characters that we may not have mentioned. For example, Kola, who was the person who was killed in the very beginning of the show. His death is what sparked this whole entire run that Kemi and Sarah were embarking on. Also to add that, if you haven't watched Blood Sisters, I know this is coming a bit too late, but spoiler alert. You're gonna get all the spoilers ever, but you should have watched it. It's been out for like a month. So yeah, that's a you problem.
Why did you click on this video? Why did you click on this?
Why did you click on the podcast? So, but yes, talking about Demi Okalawa's character, Kola, what did you think about, like, the character in
general? I think he did a good job. I think it was a good job. I was genuinely afraid of him. I was like, this man is crazy. Someone call the police. I don't know. What did you think?
I think that, like, for me, it's just a thing of, I think my only issue was I needed to understand why he was the way he was, right? You know, what made him this wicked person? And I understand that it's a function of his family and their experiences and whatever it is that they've had. I really wanted to just understand, like, what the backstory was with their family. Like, why were they acting the way they were acting, right? And maybe this extends to, like, his mom and, you know, his brother. But it's like, you are so mean. You are, everybody, like, you are so cutthroat. You're not, people don't really like you. What is the story behind that? How did you get this way? Is it that you were just, you're a problem child from birth, you know? So, like, I think if we're going to have a show, let's have a show that explores these things. Let's explore the character's backstory a little bit more. And I think same thing with his mom. It's like, why is she the way she is? Why does she act? Why does she do the thing that she does? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, how does she become so wicked? Do you know what I'm saying? Why does she hate her daughter so much? You know, all these layers, I feel like they could have explored a bit more so as to give us a much more context as to why their family is as dysfunctional as it is. Do you feel me?
I do. I agree with that. And I feel the same way about kind of like Sarah and Kemi's relationship. Like, I wish there were flashbacks that explained why they were so loyal to each other. Not them just telling us, like, yeah, I did like those scenes where they, like, basically confessed love for each other, right? But, like, I did wish there were, like, backgrounds that kind of explained why. I don't know. I feel like a lot of characters didn't get, like, a backstory. It was interesting to watch, and they kept us, like, engaged. But even, like, why is the bodyguard so loyal? They never really went deep into, like, you know, Kola's father being the minister and not, you know, Mr. Ademola. Like, what happened there? What's the backstory there? How did they get there? There was a lot of things where I was kind of like flat, and I think the story did, you know, get my attention. But on, like, you know, now that I've seen it twice, there was a lot of things they kind of did just tell us and not show us.
Yes,
I think it would have been much more of a powerful statement if they showed us.
Yes, it was very inferred. Like, we're gonna infer that this happened. We're gonna infer that, you know, this situation made these people, you know, crazy themselves or crazy or whatever. More than anything, I think that it would have been nice to see why Kola's mom is the way she is. If you're not going to give us any backstory, at least give us that one.
Yeah.
You know, how did she become this ruthless and mean and unhappy and angry? Because it seemed like she didn't have any joy in her life.
And also, some people, the writer didn't want us to empathize with her. I think, you know, once you give her a backstory, you know, there's a part of you that empathizes. But I will say, I think it's more powerful when you can empathize with the villain.
Yes, when you empathize with the villain, there is a level of, you start to root for them. Like Thanos, I watched Avengers again. I know this is so off, but I watched Avengers again. And, you know, I was like, I wish, you know, when Thanos snapped his fingers, I thought to dust.
Do you know what I mean? No, because, like, I get it. I understand. Like, it's not right.
Yes, because the planet is not sustainable as it is. We have really messed up the universe, the planets, right? We've messed it up.
Do you know what I'm saying? Talk about, like, Thanos's, you know, watching his own planet die because of, you know, overpopulation and things like that. Like, for him, this is personal. And I wish this felt personal to her character, or at least Kola's character, maybe. I don't know. I kind of wish they delved into, like, how Kola became this psychotic a little bit more, just because he's a character we didn't see have much dialogue. He dies in the first, like, half an hour.
Yeah, he dies in the first episode, I think.
If they would have gone into, like, you know, when did he start drawing the women he abused, right? Yeah. Like, what about it made that interested to him? Also, can we talk about the weird, almost, like, incestuous energy between him and his mom? Why were they kissing on the lips? I know that's a thing in some cultures, but not ours. Like,
it's not a thing in our culture. We don't kiss our parents on their lips.
No one. I don't even think, and I've never seen a country where that is normal. And I'm just like, this was weird.
It is a little weird to kiss your parents on your cheeks sometimes.
Yes, I don't think we do that. We're not French. What's going on? Hey, I was like, why is he kissing his mom on the lips? It was just like, she was, like, in love with him. Like, it was weird. giving, you know, Electro complex, Oedipus complex, whatever they call it.
Yeah, that was just so weird. It was almost as though she, you know, she didn't want anybody. She didn't want anybody to be with him, but she wanted to be with him herself.
Yeah.
So that was really weird energy from her. But yeah, like you said, it would have been nice to be able to empathize with her. There's a show that I really enjoyed when it was airing, Revenge. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, did you watch Revenge?
No, I have not seen it.
Okay. So Revenge was a show that was on ABC. It was about this chick who goes back to get revenge to the people that wronged her father, right?
Oh, I think I've heard of this.
Yeah.
It's like Emily, Blonde Girl?
Yes. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Emily Van Camp, right? So she goes, and funny thing, her name is Emily on the show too. So she goes back to the Hamptons and she goes to, you know, have revenge. And then the matriarch of the family she's having, taking the revenge on, Victoria Grayson, right? That's the name of the person, you know, but in a way, Victoria Grayson is supposed to be the villain, the one that ruined her life and her father's life. But by the time you're done with the first season, you are in love with Victoria Grayson. Do you know what I'm saying? Like you're in love with her. You are rooting for the chick that wants to get her revenge, but you also like this woman who is also
like evil.
Yeah, evil, fully formed. You know, you know her backstory. You know why she's the way she is. You also don't want her to experience pain. And I felt like the story would have been so much better if we had some empathy for Carla's mother. But you know, it's not a bad story. It still worked out the way it did. But
I mean, it's a limited series. They had 4 episodes, so you know, we never know. Maybe they shot that and they cut it. You know,
I mean, there are limited series that aren't 10 episodes, right?
That's true. This one was very short. 4 episodes was very short.
Exactly. The fact that it was a limited series doesn't mean that it has to be 4 episodes. People have a theory, though, that they were going to make it a film, and then they realized that it was too long as a film. Yes, so they realized that it was too long as a film, so they made it into a series. I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't there when they were shooting. But a limited series can be up to, you can have like 12 episodes as a limited series.
Yeah, no, you can do as much as you want, you just don't come back for season 2, right? Like,
yes, the story just ends where it ends. What did you think about Sarah's parents?
That's the next thing I actually wanted to bring up. Like, just shedding the light on kind of cultural narratives around just domestic violence. Like that scene where Sarah calls her mother into the room and talks to her, I remember like standing up. Like I remember jumping and screaming, and I asked them to pause the thing because I could not stand it. It's just the way she belittled it, the way she downplayed it. Like, and I was just like, it's kind of messed up because that's the person you think that would understand the most. Like she went to her mother of all people, and you think a mom's first instinct would be to protect her daughter from anything and anyone. But however, you know, that was not the case for her. And I think that just like for a lot of women around the world, that's just really not the case, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Especially just in the light of post-Me Too and all these things, I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about all that.
Yeah, I thought that was very like real. Like a lot of people who experience like violence in their relationships, you know, in some cult, in some families, that's the conversations that they have with their parents, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I really like that they brought that element into it. I like that eventually her mom came to her senses, for lack of a better word. It was really good. And I thought that Uchijobo played the character really well.
She did.
She really carried. You know, it was nice to see her carry the way that she did.
Yeah.
That was good. What do you think about Daniel Etim-Effiong? He played Carla's best friend.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was good. I thought it was realistic in a sense of, like, I feel like I think a lot of men in male friendships don't really interrogate their friends in a sense and really get to know them. It's just enjoy. I feel like sometimes men, our friendships are built on just activities, doing things together, being around each other without actually, like, picking at each other's brains and seeing what type of people the other person is. And watching this man have to go through the process of realizing this man, his best friend, best man at his wedding that never happened, was a sadistic monster,
mm-hmm.
was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting. And I feel like, I know for me, and I hope other people, you want to go and just ask your friends some questions. Like, you know, what are your views on these things? How do you feel about this?
What do you think about?
What do you think? Especially, I think it's extra creepy. I wish they kind of leaned into the creepiness of it, though.
Yes.
Like, I feel like they rushed it. And I wanted him to so slowly lean into how creepy and strange his friend was. And I think you would have gotten that if Carla had more of a backstory. Or maybe, like, showing places where, like, he had inklings.
Yeah.
But he had ignored them himself.
Yeah.
And just, like, maybe flashing back to, like, oh, yeah, this was a moment where he was being weird. This is a moment where I knew something was messed up, but I turned a blind eye. And kind of processing his own guilt about that. But I think they just made it like Color is evil, plain simple, very plain villain. He just finds out that he's like, ah, oh my God. And just like, you know, runs home.
Yeah. I think that it also shows that you never really know people.
Yeah.
Right? You can never really say, oh, this person can never do this. And how we really don't really know our friends. We know the part that they show us. A lot of times you don't really know them in all their entirety.
I don't know, Harry. I feel like the way they presented them, like they were two peas in a pod. I just feel like you have like inklings of when people are this like abusive. You know, I may not know all your thoughts and feelings, but like abuse, you're doing it to other people. I feel like there's things you notice, and I feel like it would have been more interesting to show like, I don't know, not complicity, but at least just the things you peep that you keep silent and you don't question to keep the peace.
I think one of the standout performances from Blood Sisters was Kola's sister, Timei, who is also a breakout Nollywood star, if I should say. What did you think about the performance? Do you think it was, because it was very talked about on social media, like nonstop, like, oh, this girl is like she's going to be the next big thing.
She killed it.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on her acting and on the character itself?
I think one thing about her that I liked was it was very rawness to her character. And I also think, unfortunately, unlike one of all the other characters, I think Timei was actually given a very like round character, like the actress. Like Timei kind of had a backstory. Timei was very just like, I was a very interesting character to play. She was dealing with addiction. She's dealing with, you know, knowing the truth about her mother. She's dealing with like, you know, wanting to be respected in this chaotic family that she's in. And I think there was a lot of material for her to work with. And I think she delivered 100%. I think, like, the scene that they were fighting in the shower was good. And she didn't have a lot of scenes, but when she was in the scene, it was interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it was interesting. I think she did a great job at it. I liked the ending, obviously, you know. That was where I think her talent really showed. Because I was truly not only terrified for her, but I understood her. And I think that's the kind of, like, backstory other characters in game. She was doing something that, like, you know, was not the moral thing, but I got it. I get it.
Yeah. I actually also liked her character. I think the only part for me that was just off.
What was off?
It was her first scene, and then she comes and she's like, who do I have to fuck to get a drink around here?
I liked that. I thought it made her stand out. She's chaotic. You don't know what's coming next. She's
different. Yes, she is, and I get it, but it's not like, like, no matter how wild you are, as in, like, there's some things that just, it's not a Nigerian thing to happen. Like, I feel like it's like, there are elements of the film, of the entire series, my apologies, that just felt like it was just very copy and paste from, like, abroad. Do you get what I'm saying? And it's like, I get, like, you could find something else chaotic to bring, you know, but I just feel like there's just something about us that we will not say that when our parents are there, no matter how bad we are. Do you get what I'm saying?
Cool. Okay, that's fair.
I feel like it was just odd to hear, you know, and this is away from even Timaine's character now. There was a scene where, oh my God, when they found the bodies, right? And they put caution tape everywhere around the crime scene. I'm like, in which Nigeria are we putting... I was like, is there another Nigeria that I put a caution tape around a crime?
Hey, listen, you don't know.
I thought that was also very interesting, you know. Just a couple of, it was like the Chicago character was so like random. This person is not going to, you know, thrive if the Nigeria police force.
No.
You know, So it was just, I think these things were just very interesting to me. But like, to back to Timaei, I thought she was, you know, a pretty well-written character. I really liked her. She was the one we understood where her pain was coming from. Mm-hmm. We saw that towards the end anyways, but we saw that regardless. And I thought that was really good. Before we talk, I get your final thoughts overall, and if you want a season two, that question. Mm-hmm. The guy who was the hired killer, what you think about him?
Blade? I wasn't didn't think about Blade much, to be honest.
I feel like, see, I think with Blade, I was just like, what is going on here? He just walked in and he was, you know, he was frowning.
He was just bony face down.
And I'm just like, exactly. I'm like, what?
That was the one part of the movie. I was like, oh, this is still a Nigerian movie. Because this scene, I don't know what's going on.
I'm like, you are clearly standing out. And then you're looking at your targets. Like you're vexing. I'm like, that's not how I don't do Blade's profession. I'm not in his professional field.
You're not in the industry.
In the industry. But from what I have seen on other shows and films, you don't step into a space like that standing out. You didn't even wear knitties.
No.
You wore leather jacket. Was it a leather jacket? He shall wear a jacket.
It was like a bomber jacket with a yellow shirt to make him stand out as much as possible.
Like you are standing out and then you are now franking your face, as our people will say.
I know.
I'm just like, what's going on?
You know what? I was doing some background research to your point about that Timaei line earlier. I know I'm calling back a couple seconds. Some of the writers that wrote the show are not Nigerians. And I think maybe that's where that comes from.
Yeah.
I think that's where
that comes
from. But no, back to the point about Blade. Yeah, that scene was weird. I'll give you that. That scene was weird. But I did like the fighting scene. The fighting scene was interesting.
The fighting scene was good, but like his character in itself. And then they were just walking through the kitchen, walking through the... I'm like, bruh.
I don't know. I think it was a well-shot scene. I don't know about why the character
was well-shot. Why did they walk through the kitchen?
How also, like, couldn't poison him? Kitchen?
And what'd you say?
They couldn't poison him.
Who poisoned him?
They couldn't just poison him. I just feel like, why did they have to get shot? Like, I feel like there were so many ways they could have killed this man.
Well, true. There were different ways that he could have done it. But I'm just like, you know, I guess they needed some action. Which, you know, seriously, I don't mind that storyline. I don't mind him paying someone to get rid of his brother. Like, that was not something that was fast.
No, I think it was cool.
I think it was just the person that they paid just acting like, you know, a novice. You know, that was odd. And then just following the guy and then walking through the kitchen part was when I just like, this is not, y'all think this is 007 or Ocean's 12. Where you just
that's what they were like, trying to give y'all.
Enter inside a hotel kitchen and then everybody's just looking, nobody's asking any questions. Nobody's like, you cannot be here. Like, and then it was just so, it was
that's true. Everybody in the kitchen just was watching them and then looked back at their food.
It was so random. But yeah, it was really good. I really liked it. There were a couple of folks that, you know, that I thought really did a good job. Tokwe did a good job. Ibrahim Sulaimon, who played Sarah's ex, Kenny. He did a good job also. I thought I really enjoyed
it. Justice for Kenny, man. Justice for Kenny.
Kenny was too love struck for me. I'm like, you know, I'm a lover. I'm a huge lover. That's who I am.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if I'm going to do that for anybody. I'm sorry.
He was a little too involved. I was like, Kenny, can you just give them the money from a distance? Why do you want to go there in person? But, I mean, it moved the story forward. But...
Well, it's only when the girl is not checking for you anymore.
That's true. I actually wanted to have some backstory for why she didn't pick Kenny. Because if Kenny is this beautiful, amazing man that's willing to literally put his life on the line for you, why were you going to marry this asshole, Kola?
But also, it seems like she could not leave.
Yeah, but she was with Kenny first. What ended her thing with Kenny?
I guess she wanted, like, something more. She wanted someone, you know. It's possible to have someone who's nice and then just be out of... You're not feeling them anymore. You want someone who ticks all your boxes, I guess.
I guess. I don't know. I think it was money. That's why I was like, no, maybe we should delve into Sarah's character a little more because I'm just like, I mean, I guess Sarah did get a family. They got a loan from Ademola, so maybe that was part of it. Maybe she felt like, you know, that she owed him something. I feel like that backstory would have made her more interesting because she was a pretty flat character.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. What are your final thoughts? And folks are asking for a second season. Do you think you want to see a season two? Should they break their limited series and just change it to and just give us a season two of the show? What are your thoughts?
What would they write in season two? I don't know what else to write. They've killed half the characters. Like, I don't know what else would happen. Like, you're going to kill another person and then have to run again? Like, I don't know. Plus, it kind of ruins that, like, how it ended.
Yes. Yes. I mean, the character, I mean, the story is done. The story is done. Also,
I think the story's done.
I think I saw on Twitter, was it DME that said, do you want this? I think DME tweeted something around, do you want a season two or something?
Yeah.
And then Kitashana replied, did they kill you?
No, so see?
She was like, for what? Did they kill you here? Like,
they did. I'm like, what else is there to say?
What else is there to say? I think that, you know, I see that happen a lot on like Nigerian Twitter where people enjoy like something and they want the second season and they want the part two.
Which is a natural response. It's a natural response, but
I feel like we can enjoy stuff as is and just enjoy art the way it is and just, you know, go back to it. If you miss it so much, go back and watch it again. Do you understand? It's a different situation where it's like a show that didn't get closure. For example, Girlfriends. You know,
see, that one, don't even get me started on that show. Don't even get me started.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that show, there was no closure. I want to know what happened.
No closure. They stopped character development after season three anyway. But, you know.
But yeah, but as regards Blood Sisters, I really thought it was a good show. Really enjoyed it. So proud. I felt really proud recommending it to people to watch who went on Nigeria. It's like, oh, check out the show on Netflix. I think it's really good. It was also nice to know that it did really well globally.
It did.
So I think that was really nice. And yeah, I feel like, you know, Ebony Life made the series. Sometimes their stuff can be a hit or a miss. This one was a hit. I hope moving forward, it continues to make more hits and less misses.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be shady because Chief Daddy 2 was not it. That was a mistake.
Harry. Why did you bring that one up now?
Because that was
Blood Sisters. Because the Blood Sisters.
But for real though, before Blood Sisters, what they put out was Chief Daddy 2. And it was just not working for me. I was just like,
I didn't see that. Oh, so I don't know. What was wrong with that?
Well, I'm not one to tell people not to watch anything because I feel like, you know, I want artists to make money. So I'm not going to say don't watch it, but more than half of the folks that watched Chief Daddy 2 didn't have nice things to say about it. So yeah.
Well, I mean, that could also be fun.
Yes. To watch something, I'd be like, why are you so bad?
I will say, okay, yeah, I did a lot of hate watching Nigerian movies, so, you know.
Yeah. Let me know what you think when you watch. Yeah.
Okay.
But thank you, Matthew, for coming on the Lazy Binge Club. You're officially a part of the Lazy Binge Club. Lazy Binge watchers of movies and TV shows. And yeah, thank you for coming to Just Chat.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I hope I can do this again.
Yes, hopefully we can watch something again together and you can come and share your thoughts, right? Yes, so everyone, if you agree with anything we said, if you feel like we were talking shit, if you feel like we made sense, if you feel like we got some facts wrong, share your thoughts, use the hashtag the Lazy Binge Club, and we're available everywhere your podcasts are streamed, so follow, check out. And I'll be back next week again for another episode. Thank you for listening and bye-bye.